You're listening to the Thursday morning show. We are moving on. We've been telling you all morning. We're going to chat with Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison. He is a regular guest with us, and I sure appreciate that he talks to those of us who live in northern Minnesota about the work that he does on behalf of the state. Thank you for zooming in with us. Maybe you have advice for me on how to get rid of stress when tech stuff doesn't work.
Oh, my goodness. That is the bane of our existence these days, is it not?
Yeah.
Every single, you know, I was just talking to my wife, like, literally, like, a half a second ago. You need 1,000 passwords. You got to try to remember them all or write them down. And if you write them down, then that's not secure. I mean, it's just, here we go, man.
Yeah, it's been
folks want the good old days back sometimes. It's frustrating.
Yeah, it's been a morning. So as you can see, John's in the studio. I'm in my home studio. We're staying safe. And we're continuing on with things that are really important to the state of Minnesota. We've got some serious stuff to talk to you about today, and they having to do with safety. You were in the Star Tribune yesterday, mentioned, and I want to talk about kind of restaurants and COVID-19, but I also want to talk about how elected officials, even just people in the state of Minnesota, it's an strange time. And I think it's been good for us to realize that even in the state of Minnesota, it's tough for leaders right now after what happened at the Capitol last week in Washington.
Well, let me just tell you, you know, when we ran for office, we knew that you'd have to make tough decisions sometimes. Now is no different. And we're just going to do the best we can with the information that we have, trying to make sure that we protect as many lives and promote as much safety as we can, all while looking after people's legitimate constitutional rights. But there has to be a balance. You know, you can't shout fire in a crowded theater unless there's actually a fire, right? So you can't do that. So what we're trying to do is say, look, given the assault on the Capitol, you know, we've got to be vigilant. And we've got to maintain rule of law and order, and public safety. But at the same time, we want to make sure that there's avenues for protests and freedom of expression. And it's a balance. And I think it's important to get tons of feedback, to communicate a lot, to let people know what you're thinking, let them talk back to you, and then come up with the best answers that you can.
So can you paint a picture of what the Capitol looks like? A lot of you are working at home. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, you know, I go into the Capitol pretty regularly. There's a fence around it. There will be National Guard down there this weekend for sure. There's, you know, people walking around it, looking, monitoring, doing the surveillance, making sure that things are safe, making sure nobody's slipping past the fence and doing anything they should not do. And, you know, we're in communication and sharing information with each other to make sure that the rule of law is maintained and good order is maintained. I mean, the fact is, in Minnesota, there were multiple lawsuits that were brought to multiple courts. And the election was upheld time and time again. And so, you know, I don't know what people want. I mean, the election was tested. It was tested. Is this fair? We're suing. Okay, you're suing. Judge says, fine. And so it happens again and again and again, yet you still say that you were cheated somehow. And when we say, how were you cheated? I don't know. It just can't be. Well, what do you mean? It can't be that your guy lost? Well, he did. People lose elections every day and all the time. Most people say, well, I lost, and let me give a concession speech. Let me plan to run again if I want to. But to say we're going to mount a legal attack in every state, including Minnesota, then we're going to fail to certify the election, even in Washington, even after states have said, here's our results. Then they're going to do a violent attack on the Capitol, encouraged by the president, who said he was going to go with them, by the way, but then chickened out or whatever. He's using them per usual. And, you know, it's just outrageous, and it's got to stop. And even after the impeachment, I mean, I want to commend 10 Republicans who said, you know what, you can't break windows and kick your way into the Capitol. That's one step beyond. I want to commend them. It wasn't easy, But I also am deeply disappointed in the 190 some who wouldn't do it, because it's like, wait a minute, man. If this is not a high crime and misdemeanor, what is? What in the world is? And some of them, I guess they're saying nothing is.
Are you?
So that's kind of how it is.
So when you were in Congress, you probably had to make some votes that people weren't always happy with, or.
Right. I sure did. I sure did. But that's the job. You know, if you don't want, if all you do is lick your finger and put it up, see which way the wind's blowing, you don't belong in Congress. That's why when people tell me, I just want to be in Congress, I've always wanted to be in Congress. I'm like, I don't know if you're going to be a good candidate. Tell me that you want to help people's jobs. Tell me that you want to improve the economy. Tell me that you care about education. What is your issue-based passion that you want to accomplish while in Congress? Don't tell me about your individual personal ambition to be somebody, quote unquote, in Congress, because once ambition is your only guide, you will do anything. My examples, you know, Lindsey Graham, Josh Hawley, Ted Cruz, Lord knows what those guys would not do in pursuit of their ambition.
We're speaking with Attorney General Keith Ellison. Thanks again for joining us. Are you at all concerned about the last, I don't know how many days the president has, 8 days left? Are there safeguards in place that he can't do something really crazy?
Well, yes, there are. But again, you know, he's still the president of the United States. Even though he's been impeached, he has not been removed. He still has access to the nuclear codes. He's still the president. Now, a lot of his key staff members have quit, and a lot of them are just not listening to him because they know he's short time. And, you know, he actually ginned up the crowd to say, hang Pence. Can you think of a person who's been more loyal to Donald Trump than Vice President Pence? This man has given devoted loyal service to Trump. And in an instant, sell him out right away. Now he's selling out Giuliani. Oh, by the way, he sold out the crowd that broke into the Capitol for him. He said, oh, I don't condone violence. You ginned up the violence, you lit the fuse. And then when the bomb went off, you said, oh, how'd that happen? Yeah. I had nothing to do with it. I absolutely condemn that. He cares for no one except himself. And I don't know why some of these folks who follow him don't know that. I mean, it's ridiculous that they just keep following somebody who would sell them all out in an instant. So, I don't know. I mean, yeah.
You know, the Capitol building there belongs to all of us as Americans, but that was your workplace.
Right. Yes.
And you had personal relationships, much like the governor, with the Capitol Police.
Oh, yeah.
It had to just hurt last week as you saw what was going on.
It did. You know, Tim Walz and I went to Washington together in 2006. We left at the same time, and now we're working together every day. And so, you know, we know the halls, we know the people, we know the individuals. When folks get, when we see our friends and colleagues, you know, because they're still our friends and colleagues, and we talk to them all the time. It's really heartbreaking, you know. And the truth is, I got a number of friends on the Republican side of the aisle. I was a gym rat. I was there every morning. We would hang out and play sports or whatever. And, you know, I know that many of them know that Donald Trump was wrong and the crowd was wrong. I also know that many of them made decisions that they felt they needed to make for personal safety or for electoral re-election. I just think that's so sad. And so Liz Cheney gets a lot of credit from me, and the other nine do too. They said, you know what? I know this might result in Liz Cheney. She is the third ranking Republican in the Republican House caucus. They might take her out of her job. Mm-hmm. I mean, she knew that going in, but she said there's a higher purpose here. You do not use violence to storm and assault the Capitol because you're mad about your candidate losing. It's just not something that we do. And so she put country over personal considerations, and so she deserves a lot of credit.
So you know what else makes me sad? I've been, you know, following you a lot in the Tribune, what's going on with these bars and stuff that stay open, and I think that's just tremendously sad too. I can't fathom it. And that one picture on the front of the Minneapolis Tribune with all those people just having a good time, That was traumatic picture. And yeah. What is going, what are these people thinking of? I know you've had to deal with, they get fined $3,000 a day.
Yeah, well, so here's the thing. Let's start with the fact that there are over 10,000 restaurants in the state of Minnesota and 1,500 bars. So we've only had to sue about 10. That's the good news. Overwhelmingly, business owners are saying, look, this pandemic sucks for business. It really does. But we don't want to put our patrons and our staff at risk. So we're going to abide by the executive orders. But then you got a handful who are like, I don't care. And, you know, we do sue them. And we're going to continue. They should absolutely expect that if they violate the executive order, that the attorney general is going to sue them. We absolutely are going to. We will never back down from this. Because you know why? People's lives are at risk. You go into that place and you flout the executive order and, you know, you think, oh, I'm young and strong, I'm fine. And then you go home and hug your grandmother and she's dead in the next 4 weeks. And you're like, oh, I didn't do that. I'm not responsible. No, you are responsible. You are. We all have a certain duty to each other. And so I just ask business. I thank the business owners who I know are going through tough times, but who are doing the right thing for their customers and their staff. And the ones who just say, we're not going to do the right thing unless you sue us. I'm here to sue you. Yeah. And I will. And I will going to keep it up.
Do you also like suspend their liquor licenses and things like
liquor that? Liquor license, food license. So yeah. Because if you're a business that's doing the right thing, you know, these people are literally making money as they violate the order. So if you're abiding by the law, you're at a competitive disadvantage. But even there, they don't care. They don't have any sense of connection to their fellow restaurateurs. They're like, screw them. We're going to get money at their expense. This is the wrong way to run a society. Look, I know if you want to compete as a restaurateur, you say we're offering a super duper deluxe cheeseburger, and that's how you compete. But to cheat and lie and literally steal based on failure to abide by restrictions, that ain't right. And we're not going to let them get away with it. So we are asking for disgorgement. If you run your restaurant in violation of the executive orders, we're going to ask the judge, and the judges have been accommodating. You know, we're going to say take their profits away that they made. They shouldn't benefit from cheating. That's what you call ill-gotten gains.
Well, and I think that that's going to follow them in their reputation, because I think they don't realize the people who aren't at the bars right now or when there's lockdowns, they're making choices about where they're going to spend their money once things are more open and they feel comfortable going out.
That's right. And let me tell you, some of those restrictions have opened up. I mean, and, you know, you can go to the restaurants at the capacity that is legally allowed and do the distancing and do the right thing and be safe. It pains me that that restaurants and bars are, you know, suffering under the restrictions, but they're really suffering under the pandemic. And so we want to open up as fast as we safely can, and we will. And you've already seen earlier this week, the governor issued a less restrictive order, and we'll continue to abide. And we've all been advocating with Congress and the state legislature to help small businesses. We believe in small businesses. We're serious fans of small business, absolutely. But at the same time, we have a deadly virus we're dealing with, and we have to act like it's a real thing, because it is.
So you said you were and are a gym rat. Just getting off the subject just a little bit, with the Minnesota State High School League, you know, they stopped sports, and then they got these people together and they just complained it's unfair. So now they're able to practice, and now they have to wear masks when they participate, and now they're complaining again. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are that, look, young people have died from COVID-19 too. The coronavirus doesn't exempt anyone. Now, it's true some people are more vulnerable than others, but no one is completely exempt. Abide by the restrictions. They're for your health and safety. And yes, it sucks. We all know that it does. Nobody's saying it doesn't. but they're for your safety. So abide by the restrictions. They're based on epidemiologists and health experts who know this stuff. And that's where the rules are coming from. They're not coming from me. They're not coming from Tim Walz. We're not physicians. We don't know public health law and public health, but we know what we know, but we don't know public health. And so please just abide, and you can complain, but still abide. You know, that's what we're asking.
The ones that are complaining are the parents. You do not hear very many athletes complaining.
Right. Kids want to play. They're like, yep. They're just glad to be able to play. You know, they're like, hey, give me my hockey stick. Give me my basketball. You know, they're ready to get out there and do it. But, you know, some people, it seems like they're so used to getting everything they want when they want it, that when anybody says, you know, we have to do this for health purposes, they'd feel deep, grievously offended. And it's just not. I mean, it's like we're all these deeply individualistic folks who don't care about the other person. And that's not the Minnesota I know. I mean, this is a state where if you're stuck in the snow, people you don't even know are going to help get you out. I mean, I have been the beneficiary of the generosity of strangers, right? Lost, don't have directions, whatever. People will help you. But when it comes to this stuff, we've seen some people, a very extreme minority, but a committed one, just not doing the right thing. But most people are. So thank God for that.
You know, people seem to get they want to blame someone, right? They get really ramped up and whipped up, especially when it comes to the restaurant and bar stuff. And I see things on social media where it's like they think you and Governor Walz are driving around just looking for problems out there. How does the process work? Does the public?
Thanks for making that point. You know, thanks for making that point. We don't have an audit program. We're not running around looking. People complain and tell on you. Your neighbors are telling on you. For the violators, please know that we get complaints. People say, hey, you know what? That bar's been open, and I'm real worried because those people are coming out of here, and they're going into our schools and our stores and all these different places, and they're spreading this illness. And so we want you to do something. And so we investigate, and if we find that it's true, then first thing we do is we reach out to the person and say, you know, you can't do that. Here's what the order says. We send them all the information. We try to gain voluntary compliance. We do all we can to try to get people just to do the right thing. And then the ones who end up, we end up having to sue. This is the worst of the worst. These are people who just aren't listening and just don't care. And so we sue them. And one of them, I think two of them, are getting hit with $3,000 a day that they're in violation of the order. And you know what? We will collect it.
You know, Keith, this is a tough time. It's a mental health is a big, big issue for everybody.
Yeah, it is.
I feel like we've all been psychologically abused for a year. And personally, I've had some issues with some anxiety and some depression, and which I never thought would happen. And you are under unbelievable conditions. How is your mental health and how are you doing?
Well, you know, thank God I'm doing okay. You know, I mean, I am a praying person, so that helps. And, you know, just last night, you know, I went on a nice long jog, and when I was done, I felt great, you know. And so, you know, it's outside. It's, you know, I'm not back in the gym yet. When I say I'm a gym rat, I mean, I like to try to stay in shape if I can. It's, you know, I'm 57, so it's not like when I was 27. But, you know, the thing is that helps, you know, too. But, you know, meditation. But you know what I tell you, being with other people, just getting on Zoom, talking with folks. You can go outside and go for a long walk, or you can go hunting, or you can go do some activity that's an outdoor thing that's lower risk. And you can do something that is enjoyable, and that can help. But there's no doubt that quarantining has a psychological and emotional toll on people. It does. People feel cooped up in the house. I say, whenever you feel like, man, I'm stuck in the house, tell yourself, I'm not stuck in the house. I'm safe at the house. Ah. I'm not stuck at home. I'm safe at home. Tell them that. And then call up somebody you care about. Do some activity that you enjoy. It is tough on you. It is tough on all of us. But if we hang together, we can get through it. And look, the vaccines are being rolled out. People in Minnesota are getting their vaccine right now. So, you know, it's not over, but we can see light at the end of the tunnel. So I just say to folks, hold on a little longer. And you know what? I just want to say there have been suicides. There's been domestic abuse. There's been drug and alcohol abuse. These things have happened, man. And I'm not here to deny it. You know, it's very tragic. But like, what are we supposed to do? We have a pandemic and a more virulent strain is out there. Viruses are organisms that can shift and change. That's why you got to have a new flu vaccine every single year, because the virus is trying to figure out how to survive and spread. That's how it survives. So, of course, COVID is no different. And so that's sort of the situation that we're in. But it means we've got to be more careful and just go by the restrictions and reach out to each other and things like that.
Be kind.
Be kind. Yeah. Be kind. Absolutely.
Do you play that upright bass?
Or is it a cello? Or what do we get going back?
That's a cello. Let me tell you.
Yeah. Play a lick for us.
Yeah, you know what? I'm just learning. You know, here's the
it's
thing.
Okay.
I just started, man. You know what I mean? I'll play something for you next time. But I tell you, that's something that I started doing during COVID. I didn't play this thing before COVID. I said, you know what? I've always wanted to learn how to play the cello. So I went out there and I'm sometimes when I'm working and I got a 5-minute break, I'll go through these lessons here. But see, that's another thing. Music can help deal with the depression and the anxiety too. Just pick up that guitar, pick up that saxophone, sing, just something to just sort of push that darkness back. It'll help.
But man, I mean, we're not talking piano, we're talking cello. You get right after it.
Hey man, you know what I'm saying? Well, you know, my little condo is not big enough for a piano. But well,
I want to talk about, so Monday, I don't know how we're at this point already this year, but Monday is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I know you are the keynote speaker at something coming up that's sponsored by Bemidji State University. It's virtual. I mean, there's some good things in this pandemic. More people will be able to do that. I wonder if you could just briefly talk about it's to honor Martin Luther King Jr. and the community work he did. So what did he mean to you, or what does he mean to you?
Well, thanks for asking me that. Look, Martin Luther King is an American hero. He's there for all of us. He helped our country really live up to the true meaning of its creed, that all men and women are created equally, endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know, our country, you know, none of us were there when, you know, Indian removal was happening or slavery was happening or even segregation. But we are responsible for making a more equal, more a fair society now. And Martin Luther King gives us inspiration to do that, to make sure that we reach out to each other, that we're fair to each other, that we include each other. And this is a lesson that is really important these days. And so I'll be there and I look forward to it. It's always a pleasure to talk about our nation's history and the struggles that we've gone through and overcome. Struggle, you know, we're a resilient country and state, you know. We bounce back. Bad things happen, but we bounce back, right? You know, I tell you, I'm not trying to put down any countries in this world, but a friend of mine from Turkey said that if you criticize, you know, the government, you could be accused of criticizing Turkishness, and that's a crime. And in America, we kind of criticize, you know, our government all the time, twice in the morning, twice in the afternoon, and a few times at night. And this is how we do things. But we have this freedom. We shouldn't throw it away. We should be grateful for it, that you can speak your mind, but you can't act violently to try to impose your will. We change government through the ballot box, not through kicking the Capitol doors in and threatening to arrest and kill members of Congress. You know, some of those guys had zip ties. What were those for?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, you really gonna arrest members of Congress as they're there to certify the results of an election? Incredible. But, you know, it's another lesson is that our democracy, our rule of law, our constitutional rights are fragile. You know, there is nothing that would prevent the United States from going fascist, just like, you know, a country like Egypt or a country like, you know, like, you know, we've seen in Spain under Franco or Mussolini. There's nothing to stop our country from going that direction except us. Except us. We've got to be loyal to those values. We respect elections. We have peaceful transfer of power. That's what it's about, man. And we've got to stick to it. And now we're being tested, but I believe we're going to pass this test because people are stepping up and they're doing the right thing, like those 10 Republicans who said, you know what? I don't care what y'all do. I'm not voting for this. I'm voting for this. And that's the kind of fortitude and conviction that we need. People who are willing to risk their political career to do what the thing, do what's right. And so that's what's on my mind this morning.
Well,
and I appreciate you guys so much. And let me tell you, you call, I answer. I love being on your show. You got a great show. And you know, if y'all gonna play some music, got any Woody Guthrie back there?
I don't have any Woody behind me. Doggone it! What else? I have
a okay.
I actually have a young woman from Sarah Streitz. She's from Minnesota. She's got a great CDL. But we appreciate talking to you. You know, you're just a real person, and we're going to reach out to you again. And if you don't respond, we know it's because you're afraid to play your cello, because you're going to be held to that.
Okay, you know what? Next time, we're going to do something on there. I don't care if it's what it is. We're going to do something on there. All right?
All right. Have a good day.
Thank you.
See you guys.
Thanks for your work.
Well.
Yep.
Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison. You can find lots of information on his website, things like how to report someone, how to find out if you're being scammed during this pandemic. You can go to ag.state.mn.us. Sarah Streitz now.